This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Yeah, that's right. We're glad you could join us. It's time to sit back, get comfortable. Talk about some weird stuff. Just chill for a while. Welcome to After Hours with the Rise Guys. Here's Madman at 9.
Yes, sir. Jimmy Jackie.
Oh, Matthew.
What's up?
Oh, just hanging out with you in this production studio.
Want to act like we haven't been around each other for the last... 5 hours.
No, we've been around each other. So you were about to walk in the building when I pulled up this morning, so we've seen each other pretty much since like 5:33 a.m.
That's true. Yeah.
And it is now 10:45.
Why is it that people do that? Like on talk shows and stuff. I used to think that when someone would come out of the curtain to go sit down with Johnny Carson that they literally had not seen each other, and then you'd hear years later they would go hang out in the green rooms prior.
Yeah, I mean, they knew everything they were going to talk about in advance.
Yeah.
Every bit of it, with everything that Leno and Letterman and all those guys, it was how they worked, why they were good, really, because, you know, it wasn't just some cold interview.
That's true.
They had this thing prepped up, so it would be a good 8 minutes of TV.
And plus, if you were a comedian and he didn't invite you over to sit on the couch, you knew that you sucked.
Yeah, you did. Yeah. And he also always let the musicians know if he was a big fan or not.
Yeah.
He'd always go over and see them if he was, but he didn't always go see them because some of them he thought they sucked.
That's true. See, yeah, he's dead. Never mind.
No, I was talking about Letterman with the musicians.
Oh, but Johnny Carson is dead.
Yeah, Letterman's still living with a beautiful beard.
It is nice.
Fabulous beard. Fantastic beard.
Yeah. Here we are, episode 11 for those keeping score. Of After Hours with the Rise Guys.
Yeah, back again, 11 weeks in. We're still here. We haven't gotten canceled yet.
I'm going to tell you something.
I don't think management listens.
You know what? No, they enjoy. They think. Here's something that someone asked me recently. Do you guys really like the stuff you say about, you know, stuff not working there and problems with certain people and stuff? Is that kind of a thing you guys do? You know, kind of. I think it was presented as kind of like a wrestling thing you guys do.
Yeah, yeah.
And I said, hell no, but I think that management thinks that.
Yeah, they may think that, but no, I was sitting in here before we started, and I was cussing the equipment because I had to run the levels on our microphones way up high where they never should ever be, but that's just to get us at a reasonable volume.
Yeah.
It's weird, man. Weird stuff here. People who don't know what they're doing mess with stuff. So that's what happens when you work at a radio station. Because, I mean, like, what training did we receive for doing this podcast?
0.0.
Nothing. Like,
none.
As far as how to upload it,
yeah.
They sent me an email and said, yeah, all right, you have access now. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, I'll figure this out. And it did.
You remember, like, 2 weeks ago, it only uploaded 1 minute.
Yeah, it did.
And complaints aplenty.
Yeah, and that was, I don't know what went wrong there. Something went wrong there, but we got it fixed.
Yes. Thank you, Carlos.
Yeah.
Thank you for your help.
Yep.
So episode 11 of After Hours with the Rise Guys, if this is your first episode, thank you very much, but definitely go back and listen to the first 10.
Yeah, we got a bunch of episodes for you. We have like roughly 10 hours of these for you to listen to.
Yeah. And thanks for the kind words about the various storytelling. We've always been good at storytelling. We just, with the regular constraints of regular morning radio, you don't get to fully tell stories without having to take 7-8 minute breaks.
Exactly. You have to play music and commercials, and it kind of gets in the way of a good story.
Right.
You know, I love Jim Jefferies, the comedian, the Australian man. Mm-hmm. But some of his best stories are the ones that he ends his stand-up specials with. He'll talk nonstop, telling one story for about 25 minutes. And that's a long time on stage by yourself in front of an audience to tell one unending, continuous story.
And it's probably not filler. Like, some people will tell, long story short kind of thing.
Short story long.
Yes, the opposite of.
No, it's just a great story, well-crafted story from a great storyteller.
Yeah.
Well, it should be.
That's what we're good at. Sitting in the dark, literally laying back in a chair. Like, these are recliners now that we're in.
They are. I'm laid so far back. This isn't even remotely comfortable, but it's just how the chair does.
Yeah.
But yeah, I also had to turn off we have track lighting in here, and then we have some lights in the back. Now, I have to flip the switch when we come in here to do this podcast to turn off the lights in the back because they buzz.
Mm-hmm.
You want to hear them? I'll turn them back on so everybody can hear the lights buzz.
Yes.
You want to hear it?
For those listening right now, I've always thought we had bees in the wall. I did not know this was a thing.
You hear it?
I heard it when you clicked it on. All I hear is the click right now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, maybe people, if you turn the volume up, you might hear the lights buzzing in here.
What if
it can't be safe.
What if the building is being taken over by some kind of entity?
That would be a hell of a science fiction film.
Some kind of, it's the building that was taken over, and it starts playing their own. For instance, I think Led Zeppelin's taken over part of the building.
They have. It just plays.
The damn computer doesn't work. It's cold as hell in the studio.
Yeah.
The thermostat doesn't work, and now this light. And remember, sometimes it'll just flicker.
They flicker, they buzz. It's very much like a haunted building if you realize it just... Well, we met the guy who wired it back in the day.
Oh,
so
God.
So that answers all our questions. If you didn't know, if you never met him, though, you might think it's haunted.
Yeah, you probably likely did not meet him.
Yeah.
But it was a guy who you would see for many hours sitting in the same spot, twisting wires together and looking around the room. Like Junior Samples, like, I don't know if he's making a bomb or if he's hooking up the studio.
Yeah, it kind of looked like both. But yeah, after meeting him, it's no surprise that the wiring is iffy in some places, though. Yeah, if you didn't have that information, you might think the building is haunted.
Yeah, and then we could charge people to come tour it.
It is kind of creepy sometimes when you come in early in the morning and the hallways are all dark and there's nobody downstairs. And the only light is the glow of an exit sign in the distance.
Oh, yeah.
That's kind of crazy.
Because it's just red.
Yeah.
It's kind of like that Stanley Kubrick. Yeah. How is it? Kubrick?
Kramer.
Red tint that he would do on movies.
Yeah. Well, any long hallways are just like that. I've felt that way ever since I saw Hellraiser 2.
Yeah.
Hell of a hallway scene.
Let me ask
and
you a question.
And the floor, the checkerboard floor, man.
Checkerboard floor is the sign of the Illuminati.
Yeah.
It is. Look it up.
Well, this was the Cenobites.
Oh, those are great.
No, these are like ones with pinhead and stuff.
Oh, okay, those are not good.
No.
Let me ask you a question. One of the things we just said, the freedom of this show.
Mm-hmm.
The thing we were going to talk about, I'm on a different path in my wavelength here of thinking. We're going to talk,
we're going to talk about
some of our most embarrassing, worst Halloween costumes as children.
Yeah.
So what I think we do is maybe hold that and talk about some of our paranormal activities, our trips. Because
we've been on some ghost hunts now.
We were going to talk about our most embarrassing childhood Halloween costumes, but what we can do is talk about that on episode 12.
Yeah.
And then right now, after you finish listening to this podcast, email us your most embarrassing. And then we can read those next week as we present our own.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, so tell us your most embarrassing childhood Halloween costume. I have two that are, I'm very embarrassed to tell.
Yeah.
But the haunted trips.
The haunted trips were... the best
was the first ones that we ever. So every year it was an annual haunted trip that we would go, and the week before we would do a series of calls. Open phones were, you got to go to Stump House Holla, you got to go to the
Stump
Rock
House
Holla. The Rock House, Stump House Tunnel. Excuse me,
you got to go to Crybaby Bridge. No, go to Crybaby Bridge in my town. No, go to Crybaby Bridge in my town.
You put it in neutral, car will drive itself.
Yeah, there's a Crybaby Bridge in every town. Shut up.
So every year we would always go out. We would take recording devices with us. This was pre-video. Mm-hmm. I mean, not video in existence, but the capabilities.
Yeah, we're not that damn old.
Yeah, but there was not cell phone video at that point.
No, there wasn't. At least not good quality cell phone video when we started doing these. There weren't even good quality cell phone. We'd have digital cameras because there weren't good quality cell phone cameras. And we'd record stuff on handheld recorders and mini disc, if you remember that really underrated piece of 1990s technology
from
Sony.
It was awful. It was like a DAT.
No, it was. I mean, it was effective. It was like the best thing we had at the time because you couldn't put audio files on a floppy disk.
No. Yeah. No. I tried.
Yeah.
I tried.
But it wouldn't fit. There's
it
no
would
room.
Only tape like 1 minute.
Yeah, if that.
God bless. Thank God for technology.
Yeah. The mini disk was the way in the 90s.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, and I probably am, and if I were, you would.
That's how people would bootleg concerts in the 90s, a mini disk recorder.
Really?
Yeah. Anyway.
How'd they do it in movie theaters?
I don't know. A camcorder, I guess.
Just a regular camcorder?
Yeah.
You put your hand up there so I know what you're talking about?
Yeah.
By the eye?
By the eye, holding it like dad style.
Was our first haunted trip as the Rise Guys morning show the one near Furman University?
That was one of them, yeah. I think the very first one was the cemetery downtown Greenville, but the one of the more memorable ones was the old children's cemetery up by Furman University in north of Greenville.
Yes.
That was very, very memorable because that – now, right now, there's a Walmart neighborhood market built along the side of the access road that led to that cemetery.
Uh-huh.
But when we went to it, it was just by itself in the woods.
It was just a bunch of – it was the woods.
It was the woods, yeah.
Behind the Fast Fair, and now that's a 7-Eleven.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So they fancy your gas station, big Walmart store there. But, yeah, the graveyard is still there, and I think it might have been kept up a little bit since we went out there. Because we went out there, these graves were all of children. It was a children's cemetery.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you got to think about that. These people all died as children, so they had no descendants. Therefore, after their parents died, then nobody knew or cared to take care of those graves.
And plus, it started to sink.
A lot of these graves were around 100 years old. And so, yeah, it had been, 50-plus years of no upkeep whatsoever. So it was very overgrown and very dilapidated, just falling apart.
And when we did those open phones, we heard from several P1s. Hey, because one of the caveats on there is like, we're not going to drive too far.
Yeah.
Because we would do this the night before, stay up all night long.
Then we have to come in and do the show.
Come in, edit the audio if there was anything or whatever. And we decided to go there because there was all these various stories of ghosts, of kids if it was, you know.
Then we kind of find out a lot of people went back there to drink tall boys. A lot of tall boys.
Smoke funny cigarettes.
Yeah, a lot of paraphernalia type stuff, blunt wrappers and beer cans.
Man-on-man stuff.
Hurricane bottles and stuff.
It's like a truck stop with graves.
Kind of, yeah.
Or not a truck stop, a rest area.
Yeah, I'll tell you this, too.
I want to piss off the truckers.
Being in the woods at night.
Yeah, it'll get you.
It's kind of scary.
Any woods, right?
Any patch of woods at night is kind of scary. You're going to hear things, and you're going to think you see things. It might be there. It might not be there. But probably not there.
Now, remind me of this. It was me. It was you. It was Fat Boy. And the reason why I remember specifically Fat Boy is what he did.
Yeah, yeah. He was very memorable. There were a few other people out there with us, too.
Some P1s, I think, went.
Yeah, the tag-alongs. We probably had about 7 or 8 people. Remember Andy White was out there with us, a few other people.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Fat Boy's memorable because of what he did. And ever since he did that, he's had bad luck ever since. And before, too.
You know, that's something that we've kind of joked about before, but, you know, the whole black cloud around Fat Boy.
Yeah. It's been there since birth, though.
Well, maybe, but still.
It's fun to think that he got it from what he did that night at that graveyard, but I think it's been there since birth.
So we go in there. Yeah, the first one was the one in downtown Greenville that I don't really remember anything major happening. I think something was in the background, a whisper, something we found out later that...
It was homeless people.
That it was homeless people hiding in the cemetery.
Yeah, just like talking to themselves in their sleep. Yeah.
Yeah. I do that.
I do too.
You sleep in a cemetery?
Sometimes.
I was about to say, it's weird.
Jägermeister.
Yeah, it happens. Well, so we're there and we have all these folks with us and we made everybody make a solemn oath. We're not going to mess with each other.
Yeah.
We're going to really do this strictly because if there's something here, we want to present it the next morning. If there's not, then we'll say there's not.
Yeah, if there's not, then we'll say that there isn't. And then Fat Boy did the thing he did.
He was wanting to make an impact on the show.
But necrophilia, really?
He did not make love.
I know.
That would have been, considering this is a children's graveyard, definitely.
Yeah, I know.
Not been.
No.
But... There's it's a like Nine said, 100-plus-year-old cemetery was not taken care of. And you're getting a lot of that erosion. You're getting a lot of gullies that are going through. For you Yankees, gullies are like ditches.
Yeah.
For you Midwesterns, ditches are like gullies.
Yeah. So, well, and as the old wooden caskets from back in the day, as they deteriorate and fall in, well, where's the earth's going to fall in on top of them?
So you could tell, obviously knowing the history of before we went there, but it looked like a freshly dug grave.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a tombstone that you could not read at the top.
It was really old grave.
Laid over. And you could see slapped down into it.
Yeah, like you could see the casket in the grave.
And I don't know who. It wasn't me, because I don't mess with any of that stuff. Somebody dared somebody to get down in there.
And then it happened.
Look, man, look.
He was wanting to make such an impact.
I mean, he did.
Because we were there for 3-4 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing really was happening.
No, nothing much went on there for a while. No.
And I think that was him falling on the sword for the show.
Yeah, it might have been.
Because we needed something to talk about. And he said, let's give him something to talk about.
Hey, we were on the right. You got to stop, man.
Chapin Carpenter versus Harris.
Yep.
Yeah. So he climbed down into there, and he didn't lay down on it or anything. He just kind of climbed down in there. I think we took some photos, which God knows where they are.
Yeah, who knows?
And ever since then, he keeps running into various little situations, not like life-changing situations, but speed bumps.
But he did before that, too.
That's true.
I mean, it's always been a thing. Yeah, he was the memorable part of that particular ghost excursion on that particular Halloween year. I don't remember what year any of these were that we're going to talk about.
I don't remember. The first one I want to say was 05, 06.
Yeah,
somewhere
and
around there.
The one with the cemetery seems like it was 10-odd years ago, 10 or 11 years ago, maybe 12.
Every year around Halloween, we had always, up until like maybe the past 5 years, we'd always do, hey, where's some local haunts? And we realized it's always going to be the same places.
Yeah. And we eventually ran out of places.
So then we said, well, maybe we should start investigating some of these, because like Ghost Hunters was starting to become a thing, you know, on the Sci-Fi network.
Oh, it was getting really popular there, yeah.
Everybody was having a ghost paranormal club.
Yeah, yeah. And I wouldn't say we had a club. We just went once a year.
We did it for the bit.
A couple of times when we went on those, that was with people from clubs or groups who did that kind of stuff. Joining them with some of the stuff they did. But yeah, it's plus nobody's going to invite you. I read something that said like 13% of people think they live in a haunted house.
Hmm.
It's a pretty high number to me, 13%. I tell you.
Probably just poorly constructed.
My house not remotely haunted. It's been there. It's my house is about 60 years old.
Yeah.
It's not remotely haunted. There's nothing there at all that shouldn't be there. Just me and a couple dogs.
Yeah.
Usually.
My old house, though, it did sound like someone was walking in the attic.
Yeah.
When there was no one in the attic. But it was just, I think it was just a crappy house.
Yeah. Like my aunt's house was a creepy house. My current house, not a creepy house. My aunt's house, very creepy house.
Yeah.
The old mill house I lived in as a kid, very creepy house. You will find out from our talks of ghost things that I'm one of the biggest skeptics you'll ever meet. I'm also a guy who's spent half his life telling people that he saw a ghost.
That's true. Yeah. Okay, good.
I saw a ghost when I just barely turned 18. I saw a ghost, and I'll go to my grave telling you that I saw a ghost, and there's nothing else it could have been. It was definitely a ghost. And because of that, I'm more skeptical than most people.
If you go to your grave telling us that you saw a ghost, would we then hear that from your ghost?
Yes, you would.
That
and
would
when I die, I'm
going to
go find that ghost.
Yeah.
I don't know who that little house on the prairie looking woman was.
Well, look.
Yeah.
So this annual thing, we had a guy contact us from a place called Sprig.
Yeah.
It may still be a thing. The Spartanburg Paranormal Research Investigators Group.
Yeah.
How the hell did I
just pull
that out of my
head? What else could Sprig be, man?
Well, I don't know.
Yeah.
And they would invite us to go to these places. Well, one was this place. Is the Green River Plantation?
Yeah, yeah. Okay. We went there. I'm trying to remember I think we went to the plantation first and then the old bank. Or it might have been, I don't remember the order, which one came which
You're
year.
You're right, the guy with the ambulance, or the hearse.
Yeah, he had a fangs That's and it. A hearse.
Yes.
And he was
all year round, though, not just during Halloween.
Yeah, he always had fangs, and he always drove an old 1960s era hearse.
Yeah.
Like late 60s. But yeah, he was at both of those because he was with that group. And then the main guy, I want to say his name was Don or something.
I don't know.
I don't either.
That's the one when I found out
oh, hell,
that 90% of all that stuff is nothing more than a bunch of bull stud.
Yeah, yeah. And
a bunch of horse crap.
The best was when we turned it around on the guy at the Army surplus store that was haunted.
Okay, tell me the timeline we're going to go in this.
Man, I think that...
I don't remember which was which in succession, but we've covered the Furman Children's Graveyard.
Yeah, we have. Honestly, I think we should save the Green River Plantation okay. for the last one, because that was our most epic haunted trip.
Absolutely.
For various reasons. There were more people there. It was a big, beautiful house. We'll get to all that. I think we should hit the bank and the Army store first.
Okay. Well, the Army store, I think, kind of plays into what I was going to say. It's still there. I think it's for sale.
It is for sale now. It's the Army Navy store in downtown Greenville. And the guy, I don't remember the guy's name, and I'm sorry, he passed away a year or two ago. But he ran
Jason.
Jason. That's Jason Prophet.
Jason Prophet.
Right. He ran a.
I did not know that he passed away though.
He did. He passed away. Yeah. He ran a ghost tour in downtown Greenville, South Carolina.
The first one. Yeah.
Yep. And we were down there with him investigating the Army Navy store.
Investigating.
Yeah. And that's, well, he was investigating or doing the tour, not really an investigation.
Yeah. God, I did not know he passed away. He kind of took me.
I thought you knew that.
Wow. So I'm not going to speak poorly of him now, am I?
No, I don't think we have anything bad to say about the guy. No, he was very accommodating and very nice.
Okay. So, but when we went, we heard about all these various stories of ghosts down in the basement of the Army Navy.
Which we didn't know it had a basement. It made sense that it did, but yeah, there's a big hunk of floor just raises up like a door.
Everything down there does because of the mud flood.
You know how you have those, and if you have an attic access in a hallway, you pull the cord and lower the stairs?
Mm-hmm.
This was the opposite of that. You pulled the floor up and then there were stairs to walk down to the basement.
That's where they would hide people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In fact, it was empty with a dirt floor.
That's where they would hide the Marines, because it's only Army Navy.
That signature musty smell, you know, from every old building you've ever been in.
Oh, it's a wine cellar. It's a root cellar.
No, it just smells like moldy earth.
Yeah, that's all it was.
Yeah.
So we go down in there, and this was the at least at this part of the timeline, Paige, who is becoming very into the paranormal investigation.
No, she got deep into the paranormal investigation.
Really? She joined one of the groups. I don't remember
which
one.
Oh, yeah.
She was on this one with us, as well as her now deceased husband, Chris.
Yep.
Chris was really into this, too.
He was big time into ghosts, man. He made it fun, too. He went on a few of these with us.
He would conduct some of the, I guess it would be a seance.
Yeah.
We were not holding hands around a crystal ball, but it was like, are you male or female? Like,
oh, he loved to talk to him. It was the best. And he could talk to anybody. Anybody could talk back, too.
Yeah. I don't know who it was, but we then found out that there was some smoke and mirrors to that.
I saw the gimmick on the stairs is what it was. It looked like the keyless thing on a car that you'd click. And I guess they're all built onto the key. But back in the day, they had just a little fob with the buttons on it, and you'd click it to unlock your doors or whatever.
Sure.
Well, I saw one of those sitting on the steps, and it was pretty easy to figure out that this motion sensor gimmick he was using as part of the tour that kept going off when there was, you know, an unseen motion presence there. Well, it was just that button you could hit.
Right.
And if it was just laying on the steps, you could grab it and turn the tables on the whole ghost tour.
Well, even then, I was
thinking.
And
then you got the ghost guy thinking the place is haunted.
Ghosts don't walk. So they could be floating above the laser anyway.
Yeah.
Ghosts don't have feet.
Well, there's also what sets off a motion sensor like that. I don't think that.
An apparition or energy.
Yeah, I don't think that the residual electric energy of that has to be what a ghost is would set that off. As you know, it's like that every religion has the same thing in common. I've said this before, and you've heard me say this, but I'll say it for the purpose of this podcast. Every religion has the same end goal when it comes to dealing with death,
right,
which is to be at peace so that you release the spirit or the soul from the body.
Right.
That's why ghosts usually are stories from traumatic deaths where you're not at peace, you're not expecting it, you're not ready to release, so there's some residual part of you left behind.
But
which
again,
explains most paranormal activity.
Why are all ghosts from the Civil War era, though?
It was a traumatic time.
It was the worst of times.
It was, man. The one I saw was dressed like Little House on the Prairie.
Save that for after we talk about the Green River.
Oh, yeah. I'll get there.
So that's when all hope was gone. I had hope that we were going to find some kind of audio, some glimmer, some video, something. And then we realized that...
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love, all streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.
If you go on these ghost tours, you don't want
to, you want to see something.
You want to hear something. You want to have the experience to tell people. Otherwise, you're not going to go home when you get back from your weekend in Charleston or Savannah or Greenville and say, "Oh yeah, we went on this ghost tour. Did you hear anything?" No.
Well, it's a suspension of disbelief, like when you go to one of these gravitational anomaly places that's just, you know, built at funny angles so that, you know, I can stand here on the floor and you can stand on this regular size or on this giant chair and look tiny beside me.
It's like that thing they had at damn Carowinds to get rid of. It was awesome.
Or like Mystery Hill up by the Tweetsie Railroad in Blowing Rock, North Carolina. It's great, man. It's a lot of fun, but I mean, you're grown, you realize what it is, you understand physics enough to understand how this works.
Is that worth the drive?
It is. It's fun.
How long is Blowing Rock from here?
3 hours probably.
Oh, I don't know.
It's a haul, man, but it's fun up there. It's awesome. You can go to Blowing Rock. You've always wanted to.
Yeah. Well, he's in Georgia now.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you realize, okay, there is the, you want to have the payoff to all this.
You want to have an experience.
But then Paige is like,
you
no.
You paid for this.
This is a real thing. I've heard this stuff. I've seen this stuff. I have my best friend, Nine, who I really, really trust when it comes to telling stories, unless he winks at me and gives me an elbow. I believe him when he says that he's saw this ghost and he'll tell us about later on.
At some point in the last 17 odd years, I would have admitted to you it wasn't real.
You would have.
But so I haven't. I can't.
Paige joins up with this one group, and what do you know, the guy in the hearse that also is in this group too. He was two-time in these groups.
Yeah. So I guess we could move on to the bank vault now. Matt, I don't think you remember too much about that experience.
I don't know why that I don't. Nothing happened to my knowledge, right?
No, it was completely uneventful. It was.
Nine just did the beer hand up to his mouth just now. We went and ate before.
I was just stoned.
Oh,
you might have had
some residue.
You might have had some beverages. I was just stoned there, so I remember some.
It was a Friday night. I don't give a damn. Yeah, I was drinking.
It was fun.
I wanted to loosen up a little bit.
It was a cool old building to be walking around in. We were down there in this ancient bank vault.
Beautiful.
Now that's where it was a beautiful, beautiful vault. I mean, really, this is
marble.
This thing is a work of art.
Mm-hmm.
The steel and the stone and how this thing is constructed is an old ancient bank vault's work of art. They don't make things like that anymore. I mean,
no.
They still make bank vaults, but not like this one.
No.
But yeah, that's the thing where, and it's a huge, heavy vault door. That's one of those things where it's in the basement where you walk in there under the pretense of a ghost hunt, and yeah, this old, abandoned, dark, musty-smelling building, you're in the vault. That's one of those things where you can't help but be a little scared, a little nervous that some unseen force is going to slam this heavy door shut, and you're stuck in a vault.
Of course.
So we all had that kind of nerve, I think. I mean,
plus, I'm thinking that they're going to work us with something. Like,
yeah.
It is going to slam on us.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking.
But think about what, like, being in the woods at dark, in the dark,
uh-huh.
Creepy.
Uh-huh.
Old abandoned buildings, creepy.
Oh man,
100-year-old bank vaults, creepy. Abandoned mental hospitals—they're going to be creepy just because they have long hallways, and nothing is more terrifying than a long hallway.
I got locked in the church when I was a kid one time. My mom and daddy volunteered to clean every once a month or whatever.
Yeah.
The church. They thought I was outside. They locked me in there in the dark.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord's house at dark, in the dark, scary as hell.
Yeah, it is. Churches are very...
The again, ultimate judgment house.
Long hallways in this big empty room that kind of has an echo to it if you're in the sanctuary.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, an empty gymnasium, kind of scary.
It is.
We've been in all these places at some point in our lives, empty, walking alone, and looking back over your shoulder because it's kind of unnerving to be in these places when there's nobody else around.
And I'm sitting there, I'm thinking there's going to be a work.
Like imagine walking through Carowinds or Six Flags or Disney World and you're the only one in the whole park. You'd be scared.
Oh, God. That robot's going to start chasing me.
Itchy and scratchy land.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the bank vault was our least adventurous, our least eventful one. And then probably the Green River Plantation in Rutherfordton, North Carolina. Rutherfordton, if you want to Google it, was our most eventful one.
Absolutely. Because there was dozens of people there.
There was a whole group of like high school age kids there.
Yeah, that was just a separate tour?
Yeah, I mean, they were in there. The there was an investigation going on.
By
the ghost hunter people, the guy with the fangs and the hearse and his buddies. And then they were also giving these high school age kids a chance to investigate and see how it works and participate and do a tour of the plantation all at the same time.
That's what you get for selling the most gift wrap, and now you don't get the pizza party and the limo ride.
So yeah, this is a beautiful big old plantation house too.
Lovely.
This thing is immaculate and it's huge. I mean, you think about there's probably a pushing two dozen people in the house.
Oh yes,
but the place is so big that it doesn't really matter. There's
that many
people there.
You didn't hear any of the other
people. And the people who currently owned it and lived there at that time, they were in their wing where they lived the entire time. We never went there; didn't know where it was. Never ventured to that side of that end of the house. This place is massive, beautiful home.
See, I forgot about that part that there were people actually. I do remember it now that you said it. I did not think.
Yeah,
about
they
that
lived
prior
like one ing, one wing of it, not one ing. I'm thinking about going to see my dog in a little bit.
Inga.
But yeah, they lived in one wing of the house, just kind of a smaller area where just you know like a few people would live.
So now I'm starting to wonder if they were like walking through the walls and you know doing all the gimmicks.
So it was their eyes in the paintings, moving and watching us.
We were on a 3-man team, 3-person team.
Yeah.
It was me, it was you, Nine,
mm-hmm.
and it was Paige.
And her husband was there too for that one, right?
It was a 4-person team.
I think Chris was there for that one too.
Okay. I mean, I believe you. You certainly, for some reason, you have the better memory of the two.
It's weird, right? Man, my the brain cells that are still there just cling to stuff.
Yeah. Well, you wait till you turn 35.
I'll be 36 in a couple months.
Well, happy birthday.
Thank you.
So we're going all over this beautiful house. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's grand. It's huge.
And the grounds outside, too, around the ponds and stuff. I mean, we're all over the grounds outside, inside, upstairs, downstairs, all over this massive, grandiose home. It's not like Biltmore, but it's big and nice.
Yeah. We go up into the attic, or was it just one of those rooms that if you had like a slow kid, they would have made them live up there? You remember though, back then how they did.
That was kind of the story they told about the attic suite, was that they had a kid and it had some sort of disabilities.
Waterhead, they called
him. I'm not sure awful. Exactly what the modern diagnosis would be. Yeah. I don't know that anybody is really. But yeah, the child had some problems, and the story goes that they made the kid live up there and kind of locked the kid up there and kept it up there like some kind of burden.
Yeah,
hiding it from the world.
It was a girl.
Well, yeah, it was one of those stories.
Yeah. And we go up in there.
That's where the paranormal activity really happened.
It was a pair of something. Mm-hmm. You needed a new pair of pants.
I needed a new pair of shorts, man.
Paige is up there. Look, again, it was a Friday night. Probably had a few drinks.
Yeah, and it was
things.
It was about September, too, and it was a warm, southern, kind of humid southern night. And up in that attic was every bit of probably 80 degrees, muggy.
Paige is like, is there anyone here? Is there anything that you would like to say to us? Are you male or female? And all these different questions.
And here I come up the stairs.
You released one of the most haunting, scariest, stinkiest farts I've ever smelled.
It was long, too. I mean, there was so much to there's so much to that poot I released going. It was right as I hit the top of the stairs in the attic. And it sounded like so much gas.
It sounded like Louis Armstrong was cleaning his horn.
So you remember when the devil is playing on the Devil Went Down to Georgia, his fiddle part? It was like if you played that on a slide trombone, slowly and out of tune.
Dun, 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 dun.
Yeah.
Yeah, it sounded like the first couple notes of Mambo Number 5.
It sounded like somebody was murdering Tim Allen.
It sounded like an old door creaking and opening for like 5 minutes.
Like the Super Mario World sound effect when you go in the haunted castles.
Now, I instantly knew. Obviously were dealt,
I was the dealer. Yeah.
You knew.
Running down my leg, yeah.
Paige reacts as if she thought it was a paranormal sound.
I think at first she might have thought that, but it didn't take long for reality to hit her and smack her in the nose.
It was the smell.
It was.
It was deathly.
Yeah.
It smelled literally, like your parents ever say, boy, it smells like something crawled up in you and died.
Yeah.
You had a ghost in your butt.
Yeah. And as soon as we're, oh my God, y'all. Oh God, it stinks. Oh my God, a fart.
I'm trying to be serious.
So we're doing all the stuff you do when somebody rips an awful fart in a tight
space. You leave the room and then wait for these teenagers to walk in the same room.
But that's the thing. They're coming up before we can start heading down. So then we're just stuck up there laughing our asses off while this group of teenagers, like 16, 17-year-old kids, like innocent kids. Kids, like the kind of good kids who would have jobs working at Chick-fil-A. They were good kids, okay?
One of them was overheard as saying, did she die up here because it still smells like it?
Yeah, but I mean, these are like kids who get scholarships to four-year colleges. These are like well-to-do youths.
They were going to Juilliard.
Yeah, and they're coming up. I don't go that far, but they're coming up here and they're just walking into a cloud of ass, and it was brutal, and it was awful, and you're seeing, like, noses wrinkle, and makeup starts running, and eyes are watering.
People flipping you off with their eyes?
Yeah, yeah. And, man, it was great. It was a beautiful moment. It was the best thing that ever happened to us at any of our stupid ghost hunts.
And then we find out that one of the guys that was one of the maybe associated with the ghost hunter group, maybe not, had one of those gimmick guns where it would sense paranormal energy around
like
you.
Like the EMF thing, but it's
EMF
detector. It looks like an EMF detector, but it's gimmicked.
It was gimmicked that anytime you press a certain button, it will come on, but if you press another button underneath, it will automatically go off.
Yeah, it has a button where it'll peg if you hit the button.
So you, well, peg, that's not the word.
No, peg the meter, peg the
Do
meter.
Do not Google that.
No.
Do not peg, Google peg. But pegging. Yeah. So then it's like, God, man, is there anything real about any of this? Because, farts, smells of death, it's all nine's rear end. Down here, the guy's got this gun. He's scaring us in this graveyard. Turns out that's a gimmick.
Yeah.
But then I hold strong to your story.
Well, yeah. I mean, I've been to a lot of creepy places. There was a place. There's a place in the middle of nowhere between Anderson, South Carolina, and Augusta, Georgia. It's actually not too far past Abbeville, South Carolina.
Is it Bum F, Georgia?
It's Bum F, South Carolina. Mm. And it's the Long Cane Massacre site, where some people were on the move and they were massacred by some Cherokee Indians.
Yes.
And a lot of – some of them were missing. Some of the kids, they never recovered. A good portion of the traveling party, they had to bury on the spot in the woods because you can't – it's going to be like a week to get to Augusta. We didn't have cars.
Right.
So you can't just take them with you. You got to bury them where they lie.
Right.
You can go out there on some Forest Service roads and get out there to where that happened, to where the gravesite is. And I stopped out there one night out of curiosity. It was
by yourself?
It was on Christmas Day, and I was driving from Anderson to Augusta. And
have you ever told this story?
Maybe. I don't remember. You might have just forgotten. I might not have told it. But I stopped out there at about sunset on Christmas Day and drove out there in my old Honda Passport. And I wound up just standing there long enough to pee. Out beside the car, there's nobody around. I mean, it's Christmas Day. It's like deserted, middle of the woods, nothing.
It's your Christmas.
But it's one of those things where, and I don't know if this is real or just me being out in the woods, being creeped out by the woods.
Had you been doing anything?
Man, the eyes you could feel on you.
Really?
I ain't ever had that many people watch me pee at one time. They're all dead, though, so it don't matter.
You don't think it goes back to being out on the side of the road in the woods?
That's what I just said. It very well may. It's just one of the creepiest feelings I ever had in my life outside of the time I actually saw the ghost. Back in 2003.
See, I have my UFO story.
Mm-hmm.
I have whatever I saw that night. I don't have a ghost story. My grandma had a great ghost story.
Yeah.
Where she dreamed that her grandson that was just born was... Real quick, my grandma was staying with my aunt at the hospital. She had just given birth to a little boy with no problems. My grandma dreams that she sees a staircase coming out of the ceiling. My great-grandpa, my grandma's father, comes down at the staircase out of the ceiling, goes over to the baby and picks up the baby, puts it on his shoulder, and walks back up the staircase. My grandma wakes up the next morning, and the baby's passed away.
Yeah. Yeah, my dad had a very similar story to that one. It is creepy as hell because he was in the hospital. He just had surgery, and he was in his room, like all, you know, messed up on morphine. And he saw his brother Ray walk through the room. He walked in from outside the wall on the outside of the building, four or five floors up, and walked through the room and walked out the door into the hallway. Come to find out, about that exact same time, Uncle Ray was dying in Savannah, Georgia.
He had no clue.
And my dad had no idea Uncle Ray was dying at that moment. He had no clue the man had just passed away. But yeah, I mean,
that gets me like the Kevin Smith story that he told us about his mom.
Right, his dad, right?
Was his dad or mom?
The feet on fire.
Felt the feet on fire, yeah, as he started to pass away.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah. I mean, people see things and a lot of them can be easily discredited, but a lot of them can't, especially when you physically see it in front of you.
When you think about not ghosts, like the whole thing, you know, like the we think of Santa Claus, the beard, the hat, the reindeer, a ghost for many years you would think is just someone under a sheet with eyes cut out, you know, that was the symbol of, I guess it still is a symbol of ghosts.
It is.
It's energy that it's just like radio. It's just like Wi-Fi. It's like we can't understand it, but it's there.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a great way to kind of try to explain it, actually. It's not like...
It's like COVID. You can't see it.
4G, 5G, Wi-Fi, FM radio waves, AM radio waves, all the things that broadcast television signals, satellite signals.
I mean, microwaves?
All these rays are out there, man.
Yeah.
All these waves and rays are out there, and you can't see them all, but they're all doing something.
You lived in Anderson then?
I did live in Anderson.
You said the year was?
2003. It was February of 2003, after the Rise Guys Morning Show had started.
A couple weeks, two or three weeks.
I was driving the big old yellow 1987 Ford Crown Victoria, and it was really cold because February is the coldest month.
And that's when we used to get to the radio station at like 4.
Yeah, so this was about 3:15 in the morning. It's about 28 degrees outside, I want to say. Definitely in the 20s. It was freezing cold.
Mm-hmm.
I just remember how cold it was. It might have been colder than that. It might have been more like 20 degrees that morning because it was like just as cold as it ever gets around here.
It's always the worst, the end of January, 1st of February.
Yeah, though, yeah. Usually. This was sometime in February. It's one of those mornings where it's, again, 3 o'clock in the morning, middle of winter, and it's so cold that everything just kind of looks blue. Everything kind of has this bluish tint on it. Like everything, just, the night just looks blue.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's when I was driving to work. And the thing is that I wouldn't have thought anything about it. And my skeptical side would have told me it wasn't what it was. But I felt it before I saw it. I felt the fear. I felt this fear and the hair standing up on the neck and the hair on the arms and all the hair standing on end. I felt that and the fear before I saw the lady on the side of the road.
Just an impending, like, doom, something's not right here. I'm in an alternate world. Like, I've never felt that. I don't know.
Well, I was driving probably 30, 35 miles per hour down that road. And it was just, I felt afraid. And I was wondering, what am I afraid of right now? Are you really, what am I? And then I see her standing there. I'm like, it's a ghost. I'm afraid. And I'm like, well, that's a ghost. That's why I'm afraid, because there's a ghost here.
This is the part I really enjoy.
It's so strange because I was afraid before I saw the lady.
And what was she wearing?
She was dressed very, I describe it as very Little House on the Prairie, very turn of the 20th century. She was dressed for cool weather, but not for 20 degrees. She was not dressed for this kind of weather. She had on a bonnet and a shawl and an old gingham kind of dress. And I couldn't really tell any details of the lady. I would have to say she was probably 40 to 50 years old in that range.
Mm-hmm. She was blue, though.
Well, everything kind of had that blue tint to it. I don't remember seeing like the very lower part of her body, like legs and...
How was her ass?
And feet. I didn't see. Yeah. You know, probably
I didn't
that,
have one.
Probably not that good.
See, slapped through her.
Yeah, yeah.
Did she flicker? You often say that it was like energy manifesting, you feel like. Did she flicker like you would see like a, you know, you see in movies where they'll do like a flicker of a ghost or something like that?
I didn't see her flicker or anything. Again, I only saw her for a total of 2 or 3 seconds before I had passed by in the night. And I wasn't about to stop and investigate this, but after I passed her, I drove like a bat out of hell for about 35 minutes to get through the radio station from Anderson back then. It was about a 35-minute ride from there. So I just drove like a bat out of hell scared the entire way.
I never forget, we cracked the mic first thing and you told that, and we went like an hour, you know, with breaks, but we went an hour just talking about ghosts and stuff, and the calls were
crazy. It's not like I said it at Halloween time. I said it at Valentine's
Day
time.
Yeah, it was not the time for Halloween or talk or anything like that.
Not at all, yeah. I never saw anything like that before. I've never seen anything like that since.
And you've looked for it. We both have.
Yeah, it was just one time I saw something, and I was afraid of it before I ever knew anybody was there.
What a story.
That's the part that I can't argue with, because I'll try to argue with anything. If I think I see something, I'll try to dismiss it any way I can. I'm very skeptical. But the fact that I felt this fear, I felt this terror, that my body reacted to it before I knew it was there, before I ever saw it, that's what makes me think it was real.
So does that give you any explanation for any kind of afterlife stuff or purgatory even? Like, to me, if there is a purgatory, it would be to be still alive, you think, on Earth, but no one around you can see you.
Well, again, I mean, you know, I don't know enough about multiverses to rule out anything we're talking about here.
But you agree that there's a higher verse?
Very possibly.
Or it could be parallel.
Parallel, at least. Yeah, I totally believe that there are parallels to this world. I don't know.
Are we on the good one right
necessarily
now?
Necessarily higher. Probably not right now. You seen what's happening?
Yeah, I just thought it was Mercury.
No, that was last year.
Mercury and Gatorade or whatever.
Something else this year. Something else going on now.
Yeah. Something else, yeah. Sabotage.
No.
Yeah, man. I love that thought, but I don't have any kind of experience to lend to the conversation other than just stories I've repeated from trusted sources.
We should have studied quantum physics instead of starting the damn radio show. I tried to tell you.
Well, Quantum Leap was about as far as I would go.
Same here. What's up, Dean Stockwell's ghost?
Oh, man. What a legend. Yeah. What a show. Where's that streaming? Let me guess.
Peacock.
Oh. Well, that's free.
Yeah.
Listen, next week, I can go ahead and tell you, this has been episode 11, but episode 12 will definitely go with most embarrassing childhood Halloween costumes.
Yeah. And, dude, I mean, look. I'm going to have to talk about being a poor kid on Halloween, too.
That was every explanation of it.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something.
Mill Hill Halloweens, man. We going over to the nice neighborhood to get some good candy. We want name brand this year.
Mill Hill Halloweens, when your mama made your costume. There was no Spirita. Mm-hmm. There was no Express.
Yeah.
There was Mary's sewing machine and whatever Wilson's Five and Dime had available.
Yep.
That was as far as it went. So next week we'll talk about the Halloween that I was Mr. T in. Other personalities.
Next week will be called a Mill Hill Halloween special.
Absolutely. So between now and then, get in contact with us on social media, Nine or I or both, and let us know yours, and then we'll read your interaction next week by name.
Yeah, we sure will, man.
All right. Episode 11. This has been it. After Hours with the Rise Guys for Jimmy, Jack, Jackie.
Well, thank you for hanging out with us. I can speak for my damn self. I was just kidding.
Would you do me a favor and say goodbye for me, then?
Okay. Well, since he said goodbye for me, I'll say goodbye for Matthew.
Yes. And together we will say thanks for listening.
And have a great day.
Au revoir.
Bye.
Toodaloo.
Later.
Golly.
See you soon. After a while, crocodile. Ha!
All right. Get out. Time to close the doors on another episode of After Hours with the Rise Guys. Subscribe on radio.com and wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Pass it around to your family and friends and other P1s. Thanks for listening. See you next time. Yeah.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.